or on Earth. There's nothing there for me. Nobody. Stoner said nothing. His face was a blank mask, watching Tavalera, waiting for him to think, to decide, to speak. Anger overwhelmed him. Tavalera shot to his feet and leveled an accusing finger at Stoner. "I've got nothing," he roared. "Nothing. No friends. Nobody on Earth who cares a rat's ass about me, except my mother, and they've got her so wrapped up she doesn't even know up from down anymore."
"I could help her," Stoner said softly.
"Leave her alone, and leave me alone. Stay the fuck out of my head. Got that? I don't want you in my mind. Never again."
Stoner nodded solemnly. "But where do you go from here, Raoul? Where do you want to go?"
"Angelique," he blurted, surprising himself. "She's the only person on Earth that I know. Maybe she can help me."
"Help you to do what?"
"I don't know, and I don't care."
"The new morality didn't treat you—"
"I don't know anybody else," Tavalera cried. "Send me back to Angelique. At least she cares about me a little."
"That's what you want?"
"That's what I want."
Stoner said, "All right, that's what I'll do."
"Good."
"I'm sorry I did this to you, Raoul. For what it's worth, my wife warned me that it wouldn't work."
"Big fucking deal."
"I'm really sorry," Stoner said.
"Yeah, sure. Just stay out of my head. Understand? I don't want you inside my mind. Stay out. Leave me alone."
Stoner nodded in helpless agreement.
Chapter 6
Angelique was in the office that Archbishop Overmeyer had given her, next to his own in the vicarage in Atlanta. It was a small, spare, windowless room, but it was next to the seat of power. She had spent the morning on the phone, speaking with bureaucrats in Greater Iran, China, Russia, and the capital of the European Community in Brussels. The idea of a global conference to discuss their differences appealed to the bureaucrats. Each of them saw the advantage to their leaders of posing in a highly publicized meeting to espouse their pious hopes for peace and brotherhood. Even the most radical of the Muslims, who couldn't help frowning at dealing with a woman, and a black woman at that, seemed quite willing to take the idea to their mullahs and emirs. "I'll have to get the archbishop to talk to the actual leaders," Angelique thought. "Ling Po and the others will speak only to their opposite numbers, not a woman they believe to be beneath them." She almost giggled, thinking, "They won't even be satisfied with speaking to the President of the United States. They know he's nothing but a figurehead. Archbishop Overmeyer is where the power is." Then she did smile to herself. "And I've got the archbishop's power in my hands." It was a surprise when the chief of security phoned to tell her that Raoul Tavalera was back in his apartment in the New Morality complex.
"Tavalera?" Angelique gasped. "When did he return? How did he get into the building?"
The chief looked more exasperated than puzzled. He had gone through this kind of thing before, and he obviously didn't like it.
"He was in his bed this morning," he said, glancing slightly off-camera to read the data off a different screen. "He must have come in during the night, but neither the guards nor the security sensors saw him."
"He's come back," Angelique mused.
"He says he wants to see you," the security chief reported. "Says he has to see you, actually."
She nodded.
"Send him to my office, please."
In less than 15 minutes, Tavalera was ushered into her cubbyhole of an office. He looked upset, terribly unhappy.
"Raoul," she said.
"Hello, Angelique."
"Where? How?"
She had 100 questions, but she knew there was only one answer to them all.
"Stoner," she said.
Tavalera nodded tightly.
"Stoner." "He wants to know what the Archbishop is doing about the nuclear weapons," Angelique surmised.
"I guess he does."
"You guess?"
With a shake of his head, Tavalera admitted,
"He can't be trusted. He's just as bad as all the others, just as manipulating, just as—"
His voice broke. Angelique thought he was close to tears. She gestured him to one of the stiff-backed chairs in front of her desk.
"What's wrong, Raoul? What's happened to you?"
"Stoner tricked me. He—" Again Tavalera stopped.
"What do you mean?"
"He tricked me. He was using me." His dark eyes full of confusion and hopelessness, he blurted,
I've got nowhere to go. I've got nothing. Nobody.
And Angelique thought she understood. She knew what he was going through. She'd been there herself more than once in her life. Matthew 11:28, she murmured. What? Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Angelique quoted.
Bible stuff, Tavallera grumbled.
But it's true, Raoul. It works. Give yourself to the Lord, and he will take care of you.
You mean give myself to the new morality, and they'll take care of me?
I'll take care of you, Raoul. I'll help you. I care about you.
His eyes focused on her.
You will.
His voice was heavy with suspicion.
Help me, Raoul, Angelique coaxed. Help me, and I'll help you.
Tell Stoner. I'm not telling him anything, Tavallera snapped. I'm finished with him. He's done enough to me.
She drew back a little. He's angry with Stoner, she thought. Still, he's the only real link with Stoner that we have.
Raoul, she said, trying to make her voice sound soothing, promising.
I'm working on an enormous project, an international meeting.
Tavallera nodded, his face still dark with distrust.
Help me to make the arrangements. I could use your help, Raoul. I need someone I can trust.
He almost sneered at the word.
And if you help me, Angelique went on, I'll help you. Once the conference is finished, I'll see that you return to that habitat out by Saturn.
For a long moment, Tavallera said nothing. Then, and my mother, too.
Angelique nodded. And your mother, too.
He thought about it for several silent moments. At last, Tavallera said, Okay, what have I got to lose?
Angelique gave him her warmest smile, thinking, he's still a link to Stoner, whether he wants to be or not. I'll be able to reach Stoner through him. And by the time this conference is over, Stoner will be dead and will be rid of him.
2 mornings later, Tavallera was sitting before Angelique's desk while she summarized,
I've gotten the Archbishop to make a public announcement of the global conference to discuss the issues causing tensions in the world. Population growth, food shortages, the growing lack of scientists and engineers.
He saw that she was edgy, her eyes darting from his face to other spots in the room. Cameras, maybe, he thought. She wants to get this down on video. Then he thought, or maybe she's just rattled 'cause I've come back. He knew there was more going on in Angelique's crafty little mind than she was telling him, but he didn't care. Once this is finished, she'll send me back to Goddard. And Mom, too. She won't need me anymore, and I won't need her. Not once I'm heading back to Holly. He heard himself ask, What about the nukes? That's what Stoner was all worked up about.
Angelique's eyes focused on him. She hesitated, then replied, No one will mention nuclear weapons in the public sessions.
But in private.
That will be the major topic of discussion, of course.
Again she paused the heartbeat, then added, We're hoping that Stoner would appear before them. It would help enormously if he met with them, spoke to them. Tavallera's expression hardened.
Stoner'll do whatever he feels like doing. But he said he's got something he wants to tell them, so I guess he'll show up.
Good, said Angelique, a cautious smile curving the corners of her lips.
You'll let him know about it?
If he tries to contact me again.
If?
I'm not his errand boy anymore, Tavallera said. Looking alarmed, Angelique said,
But he's got to know. He's got to be there.
Tavallera shrugged. He'll be there, don't worry.
It's important, she insisted. Vital. This whole conference is really for him. He's got to be there.
Tavallera saw something in her face that he couldn't quite fathom. She's hiding something, he thought. Aloud, he replied to her, I don't know where he is, and I don't care.
Chapter 7.
Still feeling that he'd made a mistake with Tavallera, Stoner projected himself to the asteroid where Bertram Feingold had sunk into a happy slumber in the chamber that housed the artifact. Feingold awoke to see a man standing over him. He was still in the artifact's warm rock womb of a chamber, but the dazzling light was gone. Feingold remembered the grandeur and harmony he had seen,
The Rhapsody